We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580, FM 90.9 HD2, online at WILL.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are back with us this first Friday of November.
Isn't it amazing?
Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, if you've got questions about dogs, behavior, training, living more comfortably with your companion animals.
Oh, I like that phrase, Celeste.
Give us a call and talk to Carol and Jim. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. I missed you two last month. I was on vacation.
We missed you as well.
I forgot you were here. All about it.
I didn't. I missed you.
Yeah. So it's good to
see
you.
You were on vacation. I was just on vacation.
Yeah. I wasn't.
So how are the males?
Let's see.
Jim and his wife have.
They're all doing well.
Malamutes.
Now that I think about it.
And
no problems.
Another dog. If I'm not
alas, Speckles passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm sorry.
Back in March.
Oh, it's been a while. And Andy and Robbie?
They don't like the time change. They don't like it.
Well, don't tell them about it.
I hate the time change. So Sunday at 4, they're looking at me like, we knew you would forget to feed us one day, and this day has now arrived. Because in their minds, they don't wear watches. It was 5. So I compromised and fed them at 4:30 with the admonishment that beginning Monday, it's not really 6, it's 5. So let's just suck it up and get on with it. Yeah. But I can't do that with myself.
Yeah,
the
cat doesn't get it either.
No.
When it starts to get light earlier now, it's like, let's go.
Yes.
Let's play.
See, if you're random, if you're Robin, you feed at random times. Oh. So it's all the same thing.
It's all the same
thing. The dogs.
But the time change, I think, has an effect on everybody. I know it does on me. I feel like the princess and the pea, but twice a year for that whole week right afterward, I just feel awful and crabby, and my hair looks awful. And you know
what
I'm saying?
How do you distinguish this from any other time of year?
Because I'm the one experiencing it, not the observer.
It's really bad.
Well, we're only 1 week in, but you look great.
It's just that first week, then I make the adjustment.
Okay.
But
okay.
My skin's dry, just everything. Look at all the callers we have.
Why don't you say we talk
commiserating
to some folks.
With us.
Let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to take a call this afternoon first from Terre Haute, Indiana. Hello, line 4.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Okay.
I have a question about my dog.
Okay.
He's a terrier mix. I've had him about 8, 9 years, I guess. And I recently got married about 2 years ago, and he bosses my wife around something fierce. He barks and makes her feed him when he doesn't need to eat, and makes her bring her dog in when she doesn't need to come in, and he kind of butt slams her if she doesn't do it right away. And how do you break him of this?
Well, how big is he?
I don't know, about 30 pounds.
How big is the other dog?
About 20.
Oh, gee, we're just full of good answers here, aren't we?
Well,
bosses are around something terrible.
Well, you know, he has no real way to communicate to her what he wants.
No.
And this is working for him. So I guess, what does she do? when he does these things to her, when he butt slams her?
Well, you know, first he'll think, well, maybe he wants to go out, and she'll open the door, and he'll look at her and then lay down. Or then she'll put out some food for her, you know, and he'll come over and have one bite and then walk away from it.
What's he doing in order to get her to perform these behaviors?
He'll bark at her, or he kind of swings his hindquarters around and he'll kind of slam his tail into her legs.
Oh, he's the one that butt slams.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure. I wasn't sure.
She's just getting fed up with him that he's always, you know, I'll be in the same room and he'll pick on her.
I don't know if he's picking on her. He's getting her to do what he wants.
Well, yeah. The other thing is that behavior of pulling his butt around, it's hard on the radio because we can't see it. But that's a fairly typical greeting behavior. It indicates actually that the animal likes you. And they're being submissive. And they're really not asking for you to do anything. They just want you to say hello or something or pet them or something.
Yeah, well, she'll do that, but then he'll start, you know, like barking at her. I mean, and, you know, just like, hurry up.
Invitation to play, would that be?
Well, that's what I mean. It could be that.
Well, we play with him quite a bit. I mean, he he's a terrier. You gotta really.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that dogs bark. He's barking, and she goes through a series of things trying to figure out why he's barking. You may never figure out why he's barking. But clearly it's not because he wants food or wants to go out. So what I would do is keep a line on him, and every time he starts to bark, I'd put him in a crate.
Okay.
And you know, not haul him into it or anything. Just say, okay, it's crate time, and in he goes until he stops barking.
Okay.
And then he may bark for quite a long time, but when he stops barking, you approach the crate. If he starts barking again, you walk away from the crate.
Okay.
And sooner or later, he'll figure that out. He'll stop barking. But
he doesn't do this to me, though.
Well, no, because you're not doing anything in response.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, if I'm home alone, I mean, normally if he wants to go out, he'll just sit by the door and look at me kind of pitiful, and then I open the door and he goes out.
Yeah. Now, what's the difference between that and what he does with your wife?
Well, I don't know.
He barks at your wife. He doesn't bark at you.
No.
So he's not barking at your wife because he wants to go out. If he wanted to go out, he'd just go over and sit by the door.
Right.
So he's barking at her for some other reason. It may be that he just wants to play or get some
attention. But maybe he's learned that barking gets a response from her, and barking hasn't worked for you. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, my guess is that he'll bark at you, and you'll just, you know, say, hey, be quiet. And so it isn't getting him anything. He barks at your wife, and she, you know, performs all kinds of behaviors until one of them satisfies him.
Okay.
If I were she, if he started to bark, as I said, I'd say, here's the game I'm going to play when you bark. You're going to go to your crate.
Okay.
If you want to go outside, walk over by the door and sit like you do for everybody else. But, see, it's not clear that his barking is meant to elicit anything from her. He may just be greeting her. And why would he greet her as opposed to you? There's a little bit of what's called dominance going on in here. He may think his social order is higher than hers, or at least equal. And he's making these requests. But I wouldn't go through a series of things trying to figure out why the dog is barking.
Okay.
I would say, here's my reaction to your barking. You go in the crate. If you want to keep barking, you're going to keep going in the crate. Now, let's figure out some other way to figure out if you want to go out. And he's already got one. I mean, go sit by the door.
Yeah. He knows if he sits by the door. Sometimes he just wants the other dog, Siku, to come in. If she's been out for 2 hours or so, he'll bark, and my wife will let the other dog in, and he's fine.
See, I think you have a very smart dog.
Oh, he's very smart, right? Mm-hmm. He's a great dog, great mm-hmm. dog.
Well, next time, if he's barking, put him out with the other dog.
Well, he won't go if he does. If there's weather outside, he won't go out.
Well, that's what I mean. You put a line on him, and...
Okay.
Just escort him out. You don't drag him out, but say, let's go outside. take the line off once he's outside. You don't want to get it tangled on anything.
I would just ignore him, personally. Start there. Just ignore the barking.
Oh, it's annoying bark. He's just this real shrill,
see, that's like
terrible
a, bark. That's like a invitation bark. Invitation to play with me. Let's see. He's probably sitting there thinking, what can I get her to do now that she hasn't done before?
Yeah, and the whole idea is if you bark, you go here and you stay here until you stop barking.
Okay.
Now, and the thing is, he's barking a lot now and it's annoying. He's going to bark a lot if you put him in a crate. It'll be annoying. But if, as I said, when he stops barking, you real quick go over and say, this is what I want. I'll let you out now. And he will start barking again. You say, oops, sorry, and you walk away. He'll shut up again, and you walk back over. And as soon as you can stand by the crate and have him silent for a few seconds, then you let him out.
Okay.
But don't start giving him food or treats or playmates or, you know, anything in response to his barking. You're just rewarding him for barking.
Okay.
Well, call us back next month. I'd like to hear what happens.
Okay. Well, we'll try grading him. All right.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Next caller is in Urbana on line two. Okay. Very good. Line two, Urbana.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm looking for a little bit of advice. My husband grew up with dogs, particularly labs, and I grew up with cats. And I'm kind of looking for a breed of dog to get. I'm not particularly comfortable with aggressive dogs. And,
oh, nobody is, so don't feel bad.
Right. But I don't have that trust with dogs that I feel like people who grew up with dogs naturally have. So I'm looking for something that's very laid back, something that's easy to train, and a dog that doesn't really have a history of aggression or something.
The perfect dog.
So you want a dog that's cat-like?
Yeah, well, that would be ideal for me. I don't think my husband would like that, but
that's just between you and me.
Yeah.
I just picked up on that. A cat-like dog, so you want one that doesn't have a lot of needs, like a big lab that needs to be walked a lot. You want a dog that's
just, all of them that I've been around have been so hyper. They jump all over you.
Well, that's just their nature. They're just pleasant dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But you want something. You know what first crossed my mind?
Retired greyhound.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That just went through my mind. They are gentle.
For an older dog, not.
Well, retired, they can be retired at a young age. They just washed out at the racetrack.
They do good investments, and their IRAs are real high, and they retire early.
But they're gentle and sweet, and their energy needs well if she goes the right one.
Jim is mumbling over.
Well, he probably had a bad experience with one.
Well, retired greyhounds are lure trained, and I'm worried about the cats.
Well.
Oh.
You don't have to get a retired greyhound. You could get a Whippet, Italian greyhound from those families that are.
Those are substantially different dogs.
They are, but they but they would.
An Italian greyhound is smaller than your cat.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a small dog too. I don't know what kind of dog your husband would like.
Well, ideally, we're both runners, and ideally it would be great to have a dog that can run with us.
I see. Then greyhounds run fast for short spurts of time. They don't do long-distance running for endurance.
Well, they could. A greyhound could run as far as a person can.
Yeah, they could.
For 5 or 10 miles.
Yeah, 5 or 10 miles would be nothing to a greyhound.
I don't know about that.
I know you know nothing about it.
They could run fast, but I don't know. I don't know enough about that. Distance.
Yeah, most dogs.
Well, if they're running with me, they don't have to run fast.
Yeah, they just trot a little bit. If you want a running companion, you're not going to want a small dog.
Yeah.
The reason being that obviously a dog that's 1/10 the size of another dog will run 10 times
as far.
So we'll
rule out the Italian Greyhound.
The Italian Greyhound is a toy dog. It's very small. It's on the size of your cat. A Whippet is kind of halfway between. They're about a maybe 25 to 30 pound dog.
Mm-hmm. About 15 inches tall.
They look very much like a greyhound. I wouldn't run with those either.
I know we've got Whippet people out there. They can call us and let us know about that.
Okay.
But I take it you have cats now.
One, yep.
Okay. It doesn't matter what the breed is or its history. The dog is either going to like cats or not. And so you can get two Malamutes. We've had Malamutes that got along great with cats, and we've had Malamutes that didn't. And they were related to each other, and so there was nothing peculiar to the breed or anything like that that would make them like a cat or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you, whatever dog you go to, and there are many at the Humane Society.
I'm thinking a beagle or a beagle mix would be a nice dog for you.
What about a golden retriever?
Well,
I hear such mixed reviews. I see so many Goldens that are really laid back.
Well, one of us has Goldens.
And then I hear that they actually can be just as aggressive. And
no, okay, so you need to look in the dictionary and look up aggressive, okay? Because aggressive and exuberant are two different things. Aggressive means that they can cause harm.
Right, biting. And
And Goldens, exactly. They all can bite. They can all bite. And then in golden retrievers, you've got a dog that has exercise needs. They're just they have the same needs as a Labrador retriever.
And they're about the same size.
And they've got substantially more issue in the way of coat than you have with a Labrador retriever.
Right.
So if the hair doesn't bother you, then you might want to think of that. They would make a good running companion after the age of about 1 to 18 months old.
Okay.
And then it depends on the source of the dog. You can get a fabulous dog from a good breeder that's laid back, that's everything you want, or you can get the exact opposite. So it requires a lot of homework on your part.
Mm-hmm. And how, if you request from the breeder that you'd like one that's more laid back, can you really tell that as a puppy or not?
A breeder can tell that if they've done a lot of breeding. There's some indicators there.
Yeah. It's not a perfect system. If you're looking for, and especially if you have a cat, I would go with an older dog, and by that I mean 2 years old, let's say.
Okay.
And I would, whoever is providing the dog, say, look, I want to introduce my cat to this dog. And there are ways of introducing dogs and cats. You have to go to a neutral third area, not your home.
Oh, okay.
And introduce them, see how they react to cats. But a big problem with cats, as far as a dog is concerned, is if they start to run, the dog really doesn't recognize – they recognize running. They don't recognize a running cat or running
right.
A running squirrel.
Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to watch out and make sure that they don't chase your cat. We've had similarly, we've had dogs and cats in the house, and the dogs would never bother them in the house. They get outside – the cat starts to run, and it's a different story.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
It's individual to the dog. So if you're getting a dog from someplace, say, look, I'd like to keep it for a week, see how it works out. You know?
Okay.
And somebody with an older dog, we'd be willing to do that. We have done that.
Okay.
And in other words, see if the dog – the dog may do nothing to the cat when they first meet it, but it may be very confused, you know, or excited about being in a new place or something and is ignoring the cat.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell until you've been around them a while. But there are ways of doing it. It's but it's not by breed or age or anything else like that. It's the individual animal.
Okay. I hope that helps. So and maybe – she'll give us a call next month.
Oh, I hope so, when she gets her dog,
January.
Yes.
And there's, you know, well, that'll be interesting to find out what happens.
January 1st, by the way, is a Friday.
Oh, well, we'll do it. We'll do the show maybe the second Friday of January.
I'm just giving fair warning.
Right. How did you know that already? You looked it up?
We lost our lease we lease a place to go sledding up in the North Woods, and they're tearing the building down. So I'm checking dates to see where we can rent someplace.
Let's take another call. Listener in Urbana on line two. I mean on line one, excuse me. Line one, hi.
Hi.
There we go.
You hear me?
Yeah, uh-huh. Go ahead.
Well, I have an older dog, and he was dog that we got from the Humane Society. He looks like an American foxhound. And he hangs outside during the day, and I bought a nice insulated doghouse for him. He's always had a heater in his doghouse. And I noticed this summer he wasn't using his dye cast anymore, and I realized that when my son constructed it, he put one of the walls in wrong, and so one side of the floor had fallen down. And the dog is terrified of his doghouse now, and he won't go in it. And I've tried throwing treats and hiding treats in the doghouse and gotten him to go in and lay down and hang out, and he is still terrified of his doghouse. And I wondered if you have any suggestions for how we might reunite him with his doghouse.
I'd buy a new one.
I was
Seriously.
Wondering about that.
I just buy a new one. He's not going to...
A wall fell in on him? Is that what happened?
Well, the wall didn't fall in, but the floor fell down, and he obviously scared him.
Yeah, I would just buy a new one. I think that he's got a phobia about it.
Did you put a new floor in?
Well, I took it apart and reassembled it so that the ledge that was holding the floor up was in the proper location, so it fell down again, but it was too late. He was already terrified of his doghouse.
When you say terrified, what do you mean?
Well, like if you throw a treat in the back of his doghouse, he'll try and keep his rear legs out of the doghouse and reach in as far as possible to get it, and he'll snatch it and then back away.
Yeah. He's not going to enjoy the experience of being reacclimated.
It's not that you can't train him. You can. It'll take a long time. And if it's inexpensive to get a new doghouse or maybe put a new floor in, that would be the more practical way to do it. If I were trying to train him, though, I would feed him outside the doghouse, and every night just move the bowl closer and closer, put it inside, put it farther and farther back in.
He comes in at night. We usually let him come in at night, so he's just hanging outside during the daytime.
Well, it's still the same technique, just to get him to have some confidence in the doghouse.
I don't know. You know, if you were walking through your kitchen and all of a sudden the floor gave way, how soon would you be willing to walk in that kitchen again? You'd have to really, I mean, when you think about it, you'd have to struggle with yourself and say, well, it's not going to happen because I know it's been fixed. He doesn't know it's been repaired.
No, and he probably was asleep,
Yeah.
I suspect he was sleeping in his doghouse in kaboomies.
I would just get him one that doesn't even look like the one he has.
That's what I wondered about.
Particularly doesn't smell like the one he has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it's made of the same material, he may not trust it because it smells the same.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Next, we take a call on line 3, a listener in Champaign.
Hello.
Hi.
A new puppy. He's about 3 months old, and he's a Humane Society puppy. He looks like he's got golden retriever. I think one of his parents had some shepherd, and I don't know. He's a mix. Anyway, he's really nippy. He bites a lot. And he's gotten, he's just really nippy, and he bites. And I'm just wondering what the best thing to do and how to keep him from doing that.
How long have you had the puppy?
About a month.
Do you have kids?
No.
Okay. Usually kids train the dog to nip.
Well, my daughter actually plays with him, and he nips. And I think, she's older. She's not a kid.
Does he have his adult teeth in, or does he still have baby teeth?
No, he still has his baby teeth.
Oh, that explains a lot right there.
Oh.
It does?
All little puppies, their mouth hurts.
So they bite?
And so, okay, so there's nipping, and I happened to meet a young puppy last weekend that was nippy but bared its teeth, and it still had its baby teeth. So it wasn't nipping, it was ticked off. It didn't want to be touched, so he made like these little snarl faces, and he'd nip. So it wasn't a teething issue; it was a temperament issue in this puppy. But without seeing what your puppy's doing, it's hard to describe.
I think that he just thinks that we're dogs.
Well,
and
yeah,
he can nip us, but he'd nip. He does it a lot. He'll bite on our clothes, and just bite everything, basically.
Yeah, see, that's just puppy behavior.
Here,
how can we?
Here's what you do. It's not unusual for puppies to nip. It's especially not unusual if they didn't have many brothers and sisters.
Or if they were removed too young.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was a very young puppy when his teeth came in and there was no one to bite him back.
Uh-huh.
A very effective way of doing this, and I'm going to guess, and I call it hand games. You know, you go to grab the dog by the collar or something and he nips at you. And you immediately draw your hand back, he wins that encounter. Is that what you're doing? Does he nip at your hands if you're trying to get him to sit or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to get nipped.
Well, okay. I'm a brave guy, and I have been known when puppies are nipping just to let them bite me, and they draw blood and all that, but I'm tough. And part of the reason for that is when they bite me and I don't do anything, it loses all of its fun, all right? I'm not reacting. I'm not going, ooh, ooh. But another thing you can do is if he's nipping at you, if he grabs your pants, for example, you can start screaming like a brother or sister. In other words, you're not screaming at him, hey, you puppy, quit that. You're going, ah, like that in a distress way. And that's a natural signal to a puppy to stop biting.
Mm.
And anytime he does it, anytime he takes a nip, you go, ah. Don't move your hands away from him or anything like that.
Oh.
But go, ah. I can't do it on the radio because it'll blow out your system. But, you know,
I get the idea.
If you're a little puppy and you're being bit by your bully older, you know, older by 10 minutes brother, you're going to cry, and that's just the way puppies learn, and then they stop biting each other.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a dominant puppy. I think he was the dominant puppy, and he seems like a dominant dog. He seems like he's pretty aggressive, and, you know, he's a feisty little guy.
Well, you know what? It's really a good thing to do, though, too, is to get him in some classes somewhere.
Yeah.
Just seriously.
Simple obedience. There are dominance exercises you can do, but he's going to nip at you when he...
But learn to interact with them. And talking to other people that have other puppy issues, you may find that your puppy's not dominant at all.
Oh.
You know, it's what you're perceiving, and that becomes reality. But what you're seeing, you're not comparing him to 5 or 6 other puppies and their owners that are dripping blood from their arms, too. You know, I mean, you need that. Seriously.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's, you know, we have classes. There's classes in the area. We're very fortunate in this community to have a wealth of resources for people with dogs. We really are. It's amazing to me.
What are your classes, or when are they?
Well, ours are winding up, unfortunately, right now.
Yeah,
are they puppy classes?
Mm-hmm. We have puppy kindergarten.
For him, in fact, I'm teaching puppy elementary next time, I guess.
When does the next one start?
January. He won't. You need it now.
Oh.
But that's okay. Yeah. You know, go to the phone book or, you know, call us off the air. We can give you some suggestions.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Don't forget to scream.
Next, before we take this next call, someone called in and to tell us about rescuedracers.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at rescued greyhounds there who are ready for adoption, and apparently you can talk with the folks who are working with these dogs, and they'll know.
Exactly.
You know, they'll know kid-friendly. They'll know cat-friendly. They'll know.
Greyhounds, by and large, are a very nice breed. They're nice.
I can see one one day for me because they're just – I love the fawn ones.
But if you want to run with them, boy, they can run.
Yeah. You probably want to have a fenced-in –
Well, no problem for me. I don't intend to take up running anytime soon.
Yeah, if you use them as a jogging partner, be ready to fly.
Let's take another call. We go next to a listener on line 2 in Urbana. Hi.
In reference to the lady with the cat, I'd like to put in a good word for Labradors.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a boy, we had a Labrador who actually thought he was a cow dog. But that was his problem. But on a cold winter morning, when you went down to the barn, you'd find him lying there with a blanket of half a dozen or more cats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I said. There are Labradors and there are Labradors, and the one you have sounds like he's a very cat-friendly dog. And there are many dogs that, you know, like cats for strange reasons.
I think she was more didn't like the activity level of the labs.
Well, they're really quite I don't want to say placid dogs. I mean, they can be very frisky and playful, but
well,
on the other hand,
they're the number one dog in the country, so that they're that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to live with.
My favorite are border collies, but I wouldn't recommend them to most people.
Mm-hmm.
But the labs, they just are so eager to please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a nice, well-trained lab is a joy forever.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband had grown up with labs,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason she thought that they were, the ones she had seen anyway, were hyperactive and jumping, which is not unusual for labs.
Oh, you know, but see, they run, so that would take care of that as when he was old enough to run.
Well, you can easily train them not to jump on you. That's, mm-hmm. that's not a problem.
I think they're the most trainable dogs that
they're,
I've ever
They're
seen.
Very biddable dogs, yes.
Well, anyway, that's my opinion.
I like the idea of the cat finding a home on top of a lab.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's nice. What a nice
picture. Were they kittens or were they just big cats?
Everything from kittens to 10-year-old cats.
They just liked his body warmth, huh?
Oh, sure.
And he liked theirs.
And the funny thing was he'd been told he couldn't push the cats away from the milk dish. So he'd stand there and wait until he was told, okay, it's your turn, and then he'd go in and drink the milk. There was always plenty of milk, so. But anyway.
Sounds like a great dog.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call. Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a poodle. He's about a year old. I got him as a tiny puppy, and I can't get him to come to me. And I've always had dogs, usually big dogs, and good luck in training them, but I just can't get him. He thinks it's a game. And he, when I call him to come to me, he just won't.
I don't mean to interrupt. When we teach this in class, we call them recalls, and we do them on lead, and we always reward when the dog comes to us, but we ask that you reach out and touch the collar, and then reward the dog with your treat.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes an automatic thing. Call the dog, he comes to you because he's on a leash, so it's kind of hard not to. Reward, reach out, and just touch the collar. Don't grab it. Touch it, and then reward. So.
Yeah, well, I have been very careful not to, you know, get frustrated and punish him when he come to me. But I just think I need to take him to a class, you know, in a general obedience class.
That's a good idea.
If I live in East Urbana, do you know offhand of any that are going on in this area? I don't have a car, so that makes it kind of hard. I can't take him on the bus or anything, so.
Well, you might want to call the Humane Society. They have a list of trainers. We have a list of trainers at the Dog Training Club that are willing to do individual lessons that may be able to come to you.
Okay.
Because obviously you can't go any place. And where is East Urbana? What area?
That way.
Sorry.
It's east of Race, east of Vaughn.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. By the Schnucks in Urbana, right around that area.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Not far from downtown.
Yeah, it's very close to downtown.
Yeah. You call the Champaign County Humane Society, call the dog. There's nobody at the Dog Training Club to answer your question, but leave your name and number, and perhaps we can find somebody that can work with you.
When you're calling the dog to you, do you have, like, formal training sessions, or you just say, Fido, come on in, it's time to watch TV?
Well, I just, his name is Frankie, and I just, you know, use a very light voice and say, come on, Frankie, you know, come here, come here. And I've tried it with treats, but I cannot find any commercial treats that he likes. He's very fussy about eating it, just driving me a little crazy. I make bacon and stuff to use.
Is he a standard poodle?
No, he's a miniature, not the tiny one, but the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he weighs
I wonder if Del Doll is listening.
Oh, wouldn't that be excellent if he's listening to
Del, if you're listening, call. Del knows everything about poodles.
Well, I sure would like to talk to somebody who does know a lot about poodles.
You know, he actually, the gentleman that Jim referenced wrote a book called The Poodle.
Oh.
It's at the library. You can go online and order it.
His name is?
Last name is D-A-H-L.
D-A-H-L.
Mm-hmm.
I sleepwalk, and I've been a little worried. I'm sure it freaks him out because I'm very bizarre, you know. And I've woke up, and I've been playing with him kind of rough. So I don't want him to, you know, get to be a really nervous dog or anything. So I would like to get him in a training class.
How about if you crate him at night?
Well, I really didn't want to do that, but I've been thinking I made a mistake in not doing it.
Yeah, early. It's never too late, and that, you know, that might just be the security that you need.
Yeah, it might relieve him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't have to worry either.
Yeah. I was hoping maybe he would be able to wake me up, but apparently it doesn't work that way. So, okay, well, thank you very much, and I'll call the Humane Society and get that list.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
I'll give Frankie a pat on the head for us. That's a cute name.
It is a cute name.
Yeah, Frankie. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, to talk about dogs, behavior, training, living with companion animals. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon if you've got a question or a comment or a story to share. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Are there some events coming up in the near future where people could meet up with folks who have a particular fancy?
Well, on the 14th and 15th, we're having our obedience trial at the Dog Training Club, which is great. Come and watch and see what you can hope to achieve at one point. A lot of people, I think we have 120 entries both days. We have a tracking test in December. I can't think of the dates right now, but it's
first weekend.
First weekend in December. Just coming out to our facility with, you know, without your dog, just one random night during the week, with the exception of Friday, you'll find somebody there and you can talk to people. And coming now, you can see what they've been able to achieve for the last few weeks.
There's a Kankakee Kennel Club is having an all-breed show first weekend in December.
Or is it Thanksgiving weekend, the last weekend?
I don't. Or the last weekend in November or the first in December.
Yeah.
It's online. You can find it.
And that's a nice show because it's not really big, but you'll still see a lot of dogs there.
Let's take another call. A listener on line one in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. It's an interesting show you're having today. I just had a question. I'm a big fan of rat terriers. I grew up with one. I was wondering, how do they do temperamental-wise with cats? I grew up on a farm, but I now live in town, and we have a couple of cats. Is that a good idea to get a rat terrier if you have a couple of cats?
If you get a puppy, I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah?
A young puppy, you let them with the cats. The cats beat them up. And even a ratty that's a fairly small dog, the Malamutes that are big, they get beaten up by the cats too, the puppies do. And the rest of their life, they respect the cats. They never get the idea that they can't beat them up. Now, again, outside, it's a different story.
Sure.
But we have a couple ratties in the club. And
they're a popular breed of a sudden.
Yeah. And of course, we don't have any cats at the club, so I don't know. But
sure.
I don't. They're fairly generally good-natured dogs.
Mm-hmm. They seem to be pretty amiable little things.
Yeah, and the ones we have in the club are fairly smart. They're smarter, considering that their brain size is probably fairly small.
Oh, yes. What was that you said to a friend of ours? A walnut? A raisin?
It was a toy dog. I said, your dog's brain is the size of a cherry tomato.
Cherry tomato. I knew it was the fruit vegetable.
It was an offhand comment, and it's haunted me for years.
It's haunted her since you said it.
Well, it's a small dog. It has a small brain. I was just commenting on how intelligent it was, despite the fact that its brain is so small. But anyway, ratties, I don't see any reason they shouldn't get along with cats.
Okay. Well, that was my experience. The one that we had was just very personable, but extremely smart and intelligent.
Yeah.
Things very quickly. And he actually, when he was about to run in with a mother cat that was running around, and boy, he never had any interest in cats at all after that.
Well, that's the good thing.
Sure.
The cats often are bigger than they are.
Sure, sure. Okay, that answers my question.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Let's take another call. Listener in Charleston, line 4. Hello.
Hi, I hope you can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
One bit of information that I had gotten, I think, from your program for a person picking out a new puppy or a new breed is turn the puppy over and hold him or her upside down and see whether the puppy fights you or is a little bit more laid back.
Mm-hmm. That is one thing. Cradle it, like, on your lap, but upside down and hold it so it feels secure. But that is one thing that people tend to do to determine.
It's part of the puppy test we give.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the exercises.
I think I probably got it. And I had a lovely call from the shelter who was great, lived 18 years.
Oh, that's good news.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for all your good work.
Thank you.
Let's take another call. Did you want to say something,
It's
Carol?
Important that people remember this is for puppies, not for... Okay. You wouldn't go into the shelter and wrestle a 100-pound Rottweiler onto its back.
Yeah, 6, 7 weeks old.
It's got babies.
No more than 8 weeks, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's take another call. A listener in Frankfort, Illinois, line 2.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment about the lady who was looking for a dog to get along with a cat. I've always raised cats and dogs together, never had a problem with them. Basically, especially if you bring a puppy in, too, and I think that's what one of the other comments was just previous to my call. You bring a puppy in with a full-grown cat, and I just don't think there's any competition.
Mm-hmm.
The puppy learns to respect the cat immediately. And we have a black lab. You know, he's not even 2 years old yet, and he was 8 weeks old when we got him. And the cat, of course, has authority over everything. If you know anything about cats, they have authority over everything and everyone in the house. And so he just fell in line with her and has always got along beautifully. I think it's an introduction. And I also think, you know, you've got a big plus if you've got a cat that's already used to the home and you're bringing a puppy in. I definitely would look for a puppy, though, not a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm. You're correct. You're right.
Yeah, I by that time, the dogs already know if they start roughhousing with a cat, they know already that they can get away with it. But a puppy is just such an easy thing to bring in with a cat.
Mm-hmm. That it is.
Well, puppies have their own other problems besides cats. That
yes,
I've raised so many puppies. I'm going to say, puppies.
It's only what you let them get away with. You don't ever teach them a bad habit to begin with, because then it's so hard to get them, you know, get them to stop it.
They are so right.
They cry all the time. They bite you all the time. They poop all the time.
Yeah,
they're just
something else that our vet had mentioned when I did get the puppy in for his first checkup with our vet. Our black lab was pretty, not nippy, but he loved to hold on to your hand. And, of course, puppy teeth are puppy teeth. And I asked the vet about it, and he said, well, a lot of that just simply has to do with recognition, that, you know, that it's a sensory thing. They get your scent. They know you, and this is, one of the things that they do as puppies, and they do outgrow it. But, yeah, definitely you don't want to jerk your hand.
Yeah, and I like the word mouthy much more than nippy, because nippy conveys a whole different...
Yeah.
Picture.
Exactly.
Mouthy is how they feel you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that I had not had that much experience, although we've had dogs, you know, for our whole lives long, you know, one after another. But it never affected me the way that this particular one did. It was just his mannerism. And I think because he was very young when we got him, that he felt that it was necessary to have recognition with someone on a constant basis.
You have a very smart vet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was good.
Yes, he was, to explain that right away, because then that took all the, you know, the anxiety away of, oh, we have a dog that's going to, you know, be nippy or be a problem down the line, which he never was.
Yeah.
He outgrew it.
Well, thanks so much for the call. We've got one last listener hanging on, so let's do this, but we'll have to be brief. Line one, Urbana. Hi.
Hi. I have a question on my dog. His name is Henry, and he's a wonderful, wonderful dog. His only kind of downfall is when we go for walks and he sees other dogs, and when he's on a leash, he really just barks his head off. And it makes me, you know, feel kind of sad that he seems like an aggressive dog towards these other people. And I'm having a hard time controlling him in that situation. Wondering if you have any suggestions.
Okay.
First of all, we have to be careful when we use the term aggressive, because it has meanings besides behavioral. It has legal meanings. A dog that barks at another dog is not being aggressive. He could very well be setting up an alarm. Here's what you want to do. As soon as your dog sees another dog, if you can do it before he starts barking, great, but even if he's barking, start to run backwards, and as soon as he's coming toward you and away from the other dog, give him a cookie.
Okay.
And what you're trying to do is, when he sees another dog, that's a trigger to him to start barking. And what you're trying to do is, if he sees another dog, it's a trigger to come to you and get a cookie.
Okay.
Okay. And what you want to do, don't want to do this just walking down the street with random dogs. Get a friend that has a dog to walk toward you so you can control the situation. You know when the dog's coming and all that sort of thing. But if it'll take a couple of days, but I think after a few days, the dog will see another dog and he'll start looking at you, and that's when you know you got him.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. Let us know how it's
going.
Call
us next month.
Next month, December 4th, Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm will be back with us here on the Afternoon Magazine. It is 1:53. Settlement prices should be in from Kansas City and Chicago. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thank you very much, Celeste. The numbers in Chicago on this Friday afternoon finished the day up looking like this. A lot of red there. Futures finished the nearby December contract down 15 cents. Corn off about 9 cents on the afternoon in the nearbys. Deferreds were down anywhere between 5 and 7. And the soybeans finished lower as well. 19 cents lower in the lead option November. Down a dime in the deferred contracts. Numbers like this in Chicago for the soft red winter wheat, 5.15 and a quarter, the high price on the day. The low at 4.96 and a half, a settlement price at $4.97 and a quarter, down 15 cents. March futures, 5.35 and a quarter, the high, the low at 16 and a half, settled at 5.17 and a quarter, down 15 cents. And the May futures, 5.47, the high, the low at 29 and three quarters. Settlement price at $5.30 and a half, down 14 and three quarters. July contract, 5.57 and a quarter, the high, the low at 41. Settlement price at 5.41 and three quarters, down 14 and a half. And the December of next year, 13 and a half cents lower today, 5.93, the high, the low at 75 and three quarters. Settlement price at 5.76 and a half, and that finished down 13 and a half. From the corn pit, December at 3.78 and three quarter cent top, bottom at 3.66, settlement price at 3.67. December corn down 9 1/2 cents. March futures, 3.92 and a half, the high, the low at 3.80. Settlement price at 3.81, down 9 1/4. And the May futures, 4.01 and three quarters, the high, the low at $3.90. Settlement price at 3.91, down 9 cents. July, 4.10 and three quarters, the high, the low at 98 and three quarters. Settlement price at $3.99 and a half, down 9 cents. December futures for next year, 4.26 and a half, the high, the low at 15 and three quarters. Settled at $4.17 and a half, down 6 and a half cents. December oats, a penny and three quarters lower at 2.54. And the March at 2.67 and a half, down 1 and three quarters. Well, November soybean futures now, 9.78 and a quarter, the high, the low at 48 and a quarter. Settlement price at $9.48. No beans, down 19 on the afternoon. January futures, 9.85, the high, the low at 55. Settled on that bottom at $9.55. And the January soybeans put an outside down week in, down 17 cents in the January futures. March contract for the beans, $9.89, the high, the low at 60. Settlement price at 9.60 and a quarter, down 16 and a half. and the May at $9.89¾, top bottom at $61¼, settled $9.61¼, down 14¾. July futures $9.92¾, the high, the low at 65, settled at $9.64¾, down 15¼ cents. Next year's November beans for 2010 had a high of 975½, a low at 951½, and a settlement price at 953¾, down 11. December bean meal today, a settlement price at 288.80, down 250. December bean oil settled 36.71, rather 36.77, down 41. And that's a look at the numbers in Chicago from the CME Grain and Oilseeds side. More from there and the livestock in a moment. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rob Meyerhofer in Morris at 815-941-3708. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Livestock contracts in Chicago finished lower today. December live cattle, the high 86 even, the low 84.90, the settlement 85 even, down 135. February 86.85, the high 85.95, the low 86.27½, the settlement down 95. April 89.30, the high 88.60, the low 89 even, the settlement down 72½. June 85.92½, the high 85.40, the low 85.85, the settlement, that down 55. November feeder cattle, 95.30, the high, 94.47½, the low, 94.65, the settlement, down 95. January, 97 even, the high, 95.80, the low, and the settlement today, 96.07½, down 110. March, 96.90, the high, 96.10, the low, 96.50, the settlement, down 80. April, 96.80, the high, 96.27½, the low, the settlement 96.77½, down 67½. December lean hogs 56.65, the high 55.65, the low, finishing at 55.70, down 90. February 63.30, the high 62.65, the low, the settlement 62.85, down 62½. April 67.50, the high 66.90, the low, the settlement 67.40, that finishing down 15. And May, lean hog 72.60, the high, 71.60, the low, 72.40, the settlement. That contract finished up 40 cents today. And February bellies were up 130, the high 86.60, the low 85.40, the settlement 86.10. Again, that was up 130. The Dow is off 2 points at 10,004. The NASDAQ is up 3 at 2108. The S&P 500 up a fraction at 1,067. Nearby crude down 2.19 at 77.43. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3, Urbana. One minute before 2 o'clock, 63 degrees in Urbana. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frayne is our technical director. The producer for the program is Harriet Williamson. The forecast for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon, a few passing clouds, otherwise mostly sunny, windy, and milder. Highs ranging from 54 in northeastern Indiana to 67 in southwestern Illinois. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows ranging from 42 in eastern Indiana to around 50 in western Illinois. And the outlook for tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs ranging from 60 in northeastern Indiana to 70.